So, Anthony, the Israeli military has launched a ground assault into Gaza. Can you just start off by telling us what you what the facts are? What has Israel actually done and what are its objectives?
Well, after about 10 days of a pretty intense aerial assault on Gaza, which hasn't stopped rockets being fired by Hamas into Gaza, and we've also seen in the last couple of days an attempt by Hamas militants to tunnel into Israel to launch a terrorist operation in Israel. The Israeli cabinet took the decision overnight, a ground assault into Gaza. The full scope of the ground assault is not really clear at this stage. People are talking about it as being kind of a limited kind of ground incursion. But look, it's very difficult to predict because, you know, once the Israeli army is in Gaza, this will develop a logic of its own. I mean, there are some clear objectives. I mean, obviously, they want to degrade Hamas's ability to fire rockets into Israel. One of the things they haven't been able to do so far has been to kind of knock out a lot of the rocket firing infrastructure. A lot of the rockets have been intercepted by the Iron Dome system. So that'll be one objective. They'll also be wanting to kill or capture some of Hamas's, you know, key military operatives. But more generally, what they're basically trying to do is put pressure on Hamas military leadership to get them to accept the kind of the ceasefire effort that's being at this stage led by the Egyptians. And obviously for Israel, they want Hamas to accept the ceasefire very much on Israel's terms rather than on the terms that Hamas is seeking.
So the threat that Israel has faced over the last few days has come from rocket attacks. You made reference to the tunnels, and that's a theme in the media reporting as well. What's the relationship between the rocket attacks and the tunnels?
The connection, I suppose, is that, Hamas has launched hundreds of rockets into Israel as far as Tel Aviv, but they have caused very few casualties. And I think what Hamas is trying to do through this tunneling effort and through an earlier effort by Hamas kind of naval operatives, when they try to infiltrate into Israel, is to kind of carry out a terrorist spectacular to cause much more damage to Israel and to the Israeli population than Hamas's rockets are so far. So I think it's a multi-pronged effort by the Hamas military leadership to really impose costs on Israel from the ongoing kind of conflict. Whereas to date, the costs have mainly been on the Palestinian side and certainly on Hamas side.
So the statement that I'm looking at from the Israeli Defense Force says that the aim of the operation is to, quote, establish a reality in which Israeli residents can live in safety and security without continuous indiscriminate terror. Does that suggest that the aim of this operation is as much symbolic, political, as it is operational?
Well, look, it's both. I mean, you know, the military operation will establish the reality. There is no doubt, however, that there is a political dimension to this in the sense that both the military leadership, but also the Israeli Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, have clearly been reluctant to launch a ground operation into Gaza. Ground incursions are extremely risky. The risk is that you will invite even greater international pressure on Israel, because obviously ground invasions are much more likely to cause many more civilian casualties than the already heavy casualties that you've had from air attacks into Gaza. You're also much more directly putting the lives of Israeli soldiers on the line. And we saw in 2006 the kind of then Olmert government's ground invasion into Lebanon that ended in a formal inquiry because of what was seen as the incompetent way in which the ground invasion was conducted from an Israeli perspective. So it's a risky maneuver, but I think it's reached the point where Netanyahu and others have been forced to succumb to pressure from others within his political party, within his political coalition, because the rockets haven't ended, because you know, the you know, largely air campaign that they've mounted so far has been unsuccessful in stopping Hamas from firing rockets. So yes, absolutely, there's a political dimension to it, but there is an operational and a security dimension too. They have to, in the end, force Hamas into accepting a ceasefire. And from that, you know, looking at from Hamas's perspective, Hamas is a goal in this operation will be to try and, you know, survive as long as they can, to keep firing rockets so that Israel, to force Israel to be more willing to, you know, concede a ceasefire on terms that are more favorable to Hamas. Now, what Hamas is looking for is, you know, some easing of the blockade on Gaza. You know, one of the aims of their operation was to get releases of Hamas prisoners, Palestinian prisoners. So they'll be looking for, you know, more favorable terms for a ceasefire. I mean, both sides in the end are working towards a cessation of hostilities eventually. It's the terms of that cessation that they are, you know, negotiating and negotiating in military terms right now.
So we've all got this Malaysian Airlines shoot down on our minds this morning, and it makes me think that sometimes that what's needed for perhaps for world opinion to really play a decisive role in conflicts is for some horrible tragedy to occur. So is this ground assault in itself, is that enough of a catalyst to get international opinion really moving on this, or does something else have to happen?
Look, I think people are clearly more worried now by the ground assault, because it does raise the risk of, you know, some you know, catastrophic event occurring. But I don't think it's probably enough in and of itself. I think that it's certainly, you know, Israel's kind of allies, the United States, even the Egyptians, who have formally come out and condemned the ground operation, but who I think privately are probably calculating that this will put, you know, an additional pressure on Hamas to accept a ceasefire. So I think this probably on its own is not enough to bring, you know, really significant international pressure to bear to end the conflict. But it certainly does risk the kind of, you know, catastrophic event, you know, a mass event that sees a lot of civilian casualties dead, either on the Palestinian side or the Israeli side. If one of these tunneling operations succeeds and you get a Hamas operative who gets into a kibbutz or a nearby community and kills a large number of Israelis, I think, you know, unfortunately, it'll be one of those events that'll bring that kind of international pressure you're talking about to bear. I think also, given what's happened in Ukraine, obviously that's going to be diverting attention from this as well. It's a shocking event, and that's diverting leaders' attention as well. So unfortunately, I think this has got some time to run yet. The real question here is, you know, Israel's kind of calculations. I still think, even though they've launched this ground operation, I think Bibi will be very conscious of the risks. That's why I think you're hearing these noises about it being, you know, a fairly limited operation. Nevertheless, the only way he's going to end this operation is if he can point to the fact that Hamas have agreed to a ceasefire, that a significant amount of Hamas's military infrastructure has been destroyed, and that ultimately that rockets and other attacks against Israel are ceasing.
Yeah. Anthony, thanks for your time.
No, it's a pleasure.